Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the coming King, the one we worship and bow down before this holy day. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel lesson, Luke 1, the Annunciation to Mary. Let us pray as we consider the Word of God this holy day. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord, and open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to receive your holy word in faith, in joy. In your name we pray. Amen. Christmas is a time of questions. We tend to ask a lot of questions during the Christmas or near Christmas season. Kids ask a lot of questions. The question of what? What am I going to get for Christmas? And then what am I going to give for Christmas? If you're still asking that one, you got 4 days to shop, men. What? There's the question of when. When are we going to open our gifts? When are we going to have Christmas dinner? When are we going to Grandma's house? When? There's the question of where. Where are we going to celebrate Christmas? I'll tell you where. Right here in church. No better family Christmas than to come worship God and sing all the carols and hear the Christmas gospel. 7 o'clock Christmas Eve, 10:30 Christmas Day with communion. This is where God's people should be. And then, where are we going to have dinner? Where are we going to go? What, when, where? But perhaps the best question at Christmas time is how? And that is the great question of Mary. When Gabriel comes and tells her she's going to be the mother of the Son of God. How will this be, since I am a virgin? It is a great question of faith. And Mary is a great example of faith. Childlike faith. How will this be, since I am a virgin? This question makes us think. It makes us meditate, ponder, and behold the powerful God who can do even the impossible thing. This question gets our focus off of ourselves at Christmas time. It's too much on ourselves and our children. It gets the focus on God and what God can do and what God does do. It shows Mary's faith in three ways, and may the Spirit give us such faith. It shows Mary has faith in the promises of God, in the pardon of God for her sins, in the purpose of God for her life. And this is faith. Christmas is a time of believing. First of all, this question really shows her faith in the promises of God, that God is faithful. The angel comes and says, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. He's coming. And Mary does not, with skepticism or doubt, say, what, Gabriel? Come on, God hasn't come for 4,000 years at least. God made promise after promise, but God never fulfilled the promise. The Messiah is not going to come. We done gave up on that promise. I'm sure a lot of Jews felt that way, living under the darkness of the Roman Empire. God, and they hadn't had a prophet for 400 years. And God's forgot about us. God's not faithful. He's not going to keep his promise. Gabriel, you got to be kidding. Go back and get further instruction. That's what we would do, we doubt. Mary does not doubt that God's going to come. She just asks how. I'm a virgin. But underlying that is she has faith that God's going to keep his promise. God's going to do it. It's as if she's waiting for Gabriel almost. She's keeping watch. She knows the prophecies. She's probably pondered the prophecies. She knows Genesis 3:15. Where God said to Adam and Eve, a man's going to come who will destroy the devil's head. And she's thinking, oh, I'm going to give birth to that man. She knows the prophecy of Isaiah 7, we'll read it Christmas Eve, that a virgin's going to conceive and give birth to a son. Well, she's a virgin. Is it going to be me? How's it going to be? God's going to keep that promise he said through Isaiah 750 years before it ever happened. And she knows the promise of the Old Testament reading today, 2 Samuel 7. Where it's going to come through the line of David. And guess what? Mary's from the line of David. Mary's qualified. She's a virgin from the family of David. She's waiting. She believes. Maybe it's going to be me. She's keeping watch. This is faith. This is readiness. Knowing the scriptures. Waiting for God. Wow. What faith this woman has. How can it be? I know it's going to happen, God. You're going to come to earth as a baby. The Almighty, powerful God's going to come as a one-cell baby in the womb of Mary. God, how can you do such a thing? How can you shrink yourself and really come? She believes it's going to happen. You know, when I was a little boy, I used to ask, how? How does big old fat Santa Claus get down the chimney, was my question. I mean, we had a little chimney and Dad burned wood in the fireplace, but it was skinny as they are. You know, and me being so mechanical and thinking that way like Steve Kaiser, not really true, but even I could figure out how in the world is big fat Santa with his big bag of toys for me going to get through my skinny little chimney? And Mom and Dad and my brothers would say, I don't know. You think too much, Paulie. He'll do it somehow. Mary asks, how's it going to be? How is the God of the universe who fills the heavens and the earth, how's he going to be a little bitty baby inside of me? Shrink himself. And Gabriel doesn't say, I don't know. Gabriel says the Holy Spirit's going to do it. It's not about you, Mary. It's not going to be Joseph. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And you will conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a miracle of God. God's going to do the whole thing. You just wait and see. That's faith. Nothing's impossible with God. Believe the promises of God. God keeps them. Mary knows it. This is the time. She believes in the pardon of God. Now think with me. Mary actually believes that the Almighty God's going to live in her womb. Wow. God, you're going to come dwell in me. And Mary's a sinner. Mary was not perfect. Mary was a sinner like you and I. How in the world is the holy, righteous, consuming fire of God going to live in me without killing me? Without destroying me? How can I ever really be in the presence of God that close where he lives in my womb? How can it be? She believes that God pardons sin. That God forgives sins. That God will have mercy on her. He will not destroy her. He will not consume her. Rather, he will take away her sins. And the baby to be born will take away her sins. She doesn't know about the cross yet, but she does believe in the sacrifice. Her son's going to die. He's going to pay for my sins and the sins of the world. She believes in the forgiveness of God. That's how God can dwell in her. That's how God can dwell with us. That's why I say, the Lord be with you. And what do you say? And also with you. That ought to terrify us. The Lord Almighty, who's holy, is going to be with me, a wretched sinner. He's going to kill me. He's going to destroy me. Woe is me. But we rejoice in those words because God forgives. And God's merciful. God takes away our sins at a cross. Maybe she thought of the story of the burning bush. She knew that story, how the fire of God did not consume a bush. God cares about a dried up bush in the desert that much? Yes. He cares about me. He won't consume me either. She knew the story of Jacob wrestling with God. God came down as a man and wrestled with Jacob. They wrestled. They were flesh to flesh. And yet God didn't kill him. And Jacob was a real rascal of a man, a liar, a deceiver. And God just wrenched his hip to humble him a bit. That's all. She knew that. Jacob could dwell with God, the burning bush. She knew the story of Isaiah. Isaiah saw God in the temple, and Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm going to die because I'm unclean, and I've seen the glory of God. And yet she knew what God did, touched his lips with a burning coal and said, your sins are forgiven. I'm not here to destroy you, but to forgive you. Faith that we can take God in our mouths, the body of Christ, the risen one, the glorious one, the blood of Christ, and not die. He's here to forgive, to have mercy, to dwell with me, to dwell in me, in mercy. Believe it. Trust it. God with us. Emmanuel. God in us. God for us. How can it be? Because he forgives. I made a mistake, an error. I must confess, I broke a vacuum cleaner here at church the other day. Steve has fixed it. Don't get on me too bad, Pat. I was trying to vacuum, and the cord, of course, was there. And as I pushed the vacuum, I stepped on the cord at the same time, and it popped right out. And there was a big boom and a spark in the church. And it lasted about a second. I know you're not shocked by my inability even to vacuum. But there was a spark and a little fire. And what did I quickly do? Steve taught me this. I quickly ran over and unplugged it from the outlet so there was no more electricity. Even dummy me knows that. But I kind of threw the cord away saying, ah! There are no black, it happened right over here, Sean, so watch out. There may be a black mark there. A little spark, a little fire even scares us. What about the fire of God? The holy fire of God that lies in Mary now, that we put in our mouths today. Sean and Kirsten were baptized in the name of this God. We don't fear it because he forgives. He forgives. Say it with me. He forgives. Last of all, Mary believes in the purpose of God for her life. Mary doesn't say the famous church words, "Let somebody else do it, Gabriel. I'm just a lowly virgin. I'm here in Nazareth. I'm a nobody. There surely was another girl from the line of David who's a virgin, and let her do it. This is too scary. It interrupts my life. I'm going to get married to Joseph. I don't want to do it. Let somebody else do it, not me." She has faith that God can use her, this humble virgin. Perhaps she recalls how God used Sarah, 90 years old, to give birth to Isaac. How God used Ruth, a Moabite Gentile woman, to be the great-grandmother of David, probably to somewhat teach David the faith and others. She remembers Esther. Oh, Esther, the lowly virgin in the Persian Empire who saved her entire nation when Haman was trying to destroy them. God uses poor, lowly people, women, men, boys, girls. He can use you. Don't ever say, "Let somebody else do it. I can't do it." For nothing is impossible with God. He can use you. You know, you've driven around on the interstates and I've seen the signs, "Ho, ho, hold your calls when driving." You seen those? Good signs, and do hold your calls when driving. Unless God calls. And God usually doesn't call when you're driving. God calls Mary here. "I'm going to use you, Mary." And when God calls, you go, 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 and serve. You don't ho, ho, hold the call. Mary says, "Let it be to me as you have said, according to your word. I'll go, I'll do it, God, use me." God has called Caleb and Kirsten today in baptism. "You're my child, Kirsten, Caleb, you're my child. You belong to me, you're my family, I love you, I forgive you, you're mine forever. Your name is written in heaven, but now I want you to be a servant. You are to serve me and serve others on this earth. I call you to go serve and love and love and love even your enemies." Who can you love this Christmas time rather than feed your face? Who can you love? He calls you to forgive and forgive 70 times, 7 times. Who do you need to make peace with and not be angry with anymore at Christmas time? Go make peace. Don't wait around. Make that peace. Forgive. And proclaim the name of Christ. You can do that. Tell your neighbor. Invite them to Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Invite them some more and plead and beg, "Know Jesus, my Savior, and come to faith and be baptized and learn of Him." You can do that. Be a witness. Serve and love and forgive. God calls and we go and go and serve like Mary. The question of Christmas is how? How? Mary has faith that God is going to keep his promise, that God's going to pardon her sins and dwell in her, and that God has a purpose for her. May the Spirit give us such faith. For Christmas is a time to believe. Amen. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.